Bill Bennett is with us now with news from the tech universe. Hello, Bill.
Morning.
So where are we beginning today?
Well, the problems people have been having recently with Facebook, with having their Facebook accounts hacked, it's become quite a thing. I mean, we've got some reasonably high-profile cases in New Zealand. Amongst others, there's Peter Griffin, who's another commentator on 9 to Noon, is one of them. And what's happened is that basically other people have somehow gotten hold of or got into people's Facebook accounts and impersonated them. And it's becoming a huge problem. I did some research on this, and there are thousands. One estimate is there could be as many as 40,000 people worldwide have had their Facebook accounts hacked in one way or another. A lot of those people are high-profile people who, and the hacking is basically to take over their profile and use their influence to get things, perhaps, or to make political points or whatever. But in other cases, it's happening to people who are who have careers like they're influencers, not necessarily the kind of influencer who sells beauty products and, you know, with videos of themselves and so on. In some cases, they work in professional areas. There's one case I read about who's a woman who makes videos about how to deal with legal problems if you're in business, and all her business went through Facebook. Her account was hacked, and her business effectively finished because of it. The Identity Theft Resource Center says that social media account hijacking was up 1,044% last year.
That's quite a lot.
Yes.
And how, like, you know, what are the potential sort of weak points or entry points?
Well, the most obvious entry point is basically you can be victim of a phishing attack where the phishing attack somehow gets hold of your password to get you in. That's the most likely way it'll happen. We'll talk a bit later about two-factor authentication, but you can generally use two-factor authentication to protect yourself and protect your password on these social media sites. But there are problems with that, and it's not always easy. And it turns out that only a small minority of people use that. So generally speaking, it's a question of guessing people's passwords or somehow getting hold of people's passwords, and that's not necessarily hard. There are people who are obvious targets to do that. So, like I said, people who make money from Facebook. One thing that's been happening with some of those people who make Facebook videos and earn money off the advertising, for example, is that people have taken over their accounts and they're collecting the money. But the most amazing thing about all this, and it's what all the stories I read about this happening to people all come back to the same point, and that is that there's no obvious way of dealing with it. Facebook does have some pages of what to do if your account is hacked, but they don't really. There's no one there who wants to help. There's no sort of helpline or whatever. And in fact, there's not really any customer service. And it brings us back to that point. We've talked about this in the past. It's become a cliche, really, that if you don't pay for a service, you're the product, not the customer. And that's so clear with Facebook, because if you're a Facebook advertiser, who are their customers, you can get someone from Facebook on the line. You can talk to someone from Facebook, or you can at least email them and get some customer satisfaction that way. If you're a user and this happens, you just don't get to talk to them. There's just no one at the other end dealing with it.
It might be the saviour. It might be AI, a more capable AI, because this just drives people mad. It drives people at quite senior levels mad trying to get through to anyone to discuss anything, not just with Facebook.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One thinks a bit like kind of... what's it called? Planned obsolescence. Perhaps this is planned absence or planned unavailability. What can you do if it happens to you? Do you start again with a new account or what?
Yeah, that is. I mean, in some cases they can reset the account, but it might take some time to do that. But some people are restarting with fresh accounts. The I was going to say there is another way in. I mean, if you're a high profile person and you're in the media, you could probably go through their media department and just make a lot of noise about it in the media, and you might get some attention that way. But for most people, that's just not an option. The really disturbing thing about this is I talked about phishing attacks and people getting hold of the passwords, but it turns out that there's been a really thriving black trade in Facebook employees and contractors working for Facebook who have given hackers people's passwords. I mean, in many cases, they've been bribed to do so. And last year, Facebook sacked 24 people who it had found were taking bribes to give out passwords and so on. So it's, you know, so they know that this is a problem and they recognize it's a problem, but it's quite often it's an inside job that information's getting out.
Okay. Now, TikTok, we had that dramatic move around the world, really, including here, all of a sudden, to ban TikTok from any kind of government devices if you work for the government. Is it just a case of following the leader on that?
It looks like that, but no, there's a reason why everyone else acted when they did, and it's this, right? First of all, TikTok's owned by ByteDance, which is a Chinese company. They're based in Beijing, and they're subject to the Chinese laws. And there's this very specific law which says that all organizations and citizens shall support, assist, and cooperate with national intelligence efforts. Now, TikTok say they're not passing information over to the Chinese security services, but they would say that. Of course they would say that. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Reuters used to say that they're not handing information over to the MI5 when they were reporting during the war, but they did. And so I think that's come to the fore a bit. And the reason that's happened at once is because there has been some evidence of information from TikTok being passed to the Chinese security services. The problem with an app like TikTok on a parliamentary phone, say you're a minister or a minister's aide, or you're working in a high-profile government department, TikTok knows where your phone is at any time, and that's useful information for espionage. So, you know, say you work something to do with, I don't know, defence, and you visit a naval facility or whatever, they'll know something's going on. So they can get that information really easily. They also know who all your contacts are, and they can get metadata about when you contact them. So if, for example, you get a call from someone who is of interest to a security service, they may get notification that's happening. And there's just a whisper that there was some evidence that had been happening, which is why why the Western governments all acted when they did. And it was quite quick. I mean, it was only about a month ago that the British government was saying they didn't think it was necessary. And then the very day that New Zealand made the change, they made the change too. But there's something else going on later today, our time, in the US, where the CEO of ByteDance, a guy called Xu Zhiqiu, is in front of the one of the House committees in Washington, and there's pressure from the US government for ByteDance to sell TikTok, hopefully to a Western country. They want it to go to a Western country. There's a lot of resistance. I mean, and the Chinese and ByteDance are really resisting that. And what they want to do is they want to put in some kind of things that will give people confidence in the West that their information is not being spied on. So, for example, they'll get a US company to look after the data and keep the data secure in the US and make sure there aren't links back to China and so on. It's kind of plausible, but there's still an uneasy feeling about that. And it's not just the espionage part of the equation. It's also that, like any social media, there are algorithms which decide what people see. And it has there's absolutely zero evidence that this has been going on to date with TikTok. But teenagers that are going on TikTok to look at, you know, the latest dance moves or just how to cook something could very quickly be starting to get, you know, propaganda from the Chinese government, or get sent to those, or get sent to disinformation or whatever. The fears about that are increasing right now.
All right. Now, Twitter. And where is it at on its new journey?
Yeah, I mean, I, when we were preparing for this, I wrote in my notes, this is the third most dysfunctional social media platform this week.
they can't all be most dysfunctional, can they? Well, is it a tie?
yeah. Twitter has been for months the on the leaderboard there. But anyway, what they've done in the last week is they've stopped people from being able to use SMS two-factor authentication to log into their Twitter accounts. Now, I mentioned this earlier with Facebook, and two-factor authentication is when you use something else other than a password to prove who you are. So, and the most common way is SMS messaging. So you get a code. When you try and log on to a site like Twitter, you'll get sent a code on your phone from Twitter. It'll be a text message, and it's like six digits, and you type that in as a code, and you can get through to the application. That costs money to send, and Elon Musk is on a money saving spree, so he will save. But bear in mind, he paid $44 billion for this company. He will save $60 million a year by not sending out text messages. And he's saying, and there are some people who agree with him, that text message SMS is not the best way of doing two-factor authentication. Well, or rather, it's not the most secure way of doing it. Because the other way you can do it is if you have an app on your phone, which is an authenticator app, and you can go to the app and the app will give you a number, 30 seconds, which you've got to quickly type in, and you can get there. And there is an argument that is more secure, partly because it is possible to hack SMS messages. It's not very common. It doesn't happen all the time. It's quite unlikely. But in the case of some high-profile people, that could be done. Our privacy commissioner has pointed out, and he is quite right about this. The thing is that SMS text message two-factor authentication is the easiest thing for most people to use. And because that's easy, it means it's the one people are most likely to use. And that means that it keeps more people safe than the alternative, which is, it's just slightly harder to use. It just requires a little bit more work. The thing is, it turns out that almost no one uses these two-factor authentications on things like Twitter anyway. I think the estimate is it's only about 5% of people used it anyway. So it's a bit of a storm in a teacup in that sense. But it's just indicative of what's going on with Twitter, is that every sort of week something else just degrades the quality of the service and degrades what people get on the other end. Just makes it that little bit crappier.
Some feedback and a question, actually. The first one, how safe are the iPhone keychain password managers?
I use that myself, and I think it's actually possibly the safest way of doing these things. Of course, if someone can get into your phone, then that all goes. But iPhones are pretty secure. I mean, you either need a fingerprint or your facial recognition to get into it most of the time. So unless you happen to just leave it lying around opened, then it's about as secure as you can get.
And a couple of observations before we get to your final topic. It's absolutely impossible, says Vanessa in Auckland, even as someone who pays for things, to get a resolution with Facebook. I waited and tried for 5 months and kept being told I was being prioritised before giving up and starting again. And a good point here, good observation here. Having an environment where there's people restarting new accounts looks like growth for Facebook.
Yes.
that $2 billion or whatever it is figure. another way to keep that on the up, perhaps. Bill, just to finish today, cybercrime, well, it's kind of the theme du jour, isn't it? On its upwards trajectory.
Yeah, it is. And we're back to that phishing again. I mean, CertNZ published its annual survey summary of what's been going on with cybercrime earlier this morning. And it's basically scams or frauds are up about 20% on last year. The amount of money is being lost is increasing quite rapidly. But the number one problem is the same as it's been pretty much for 30 years now, which is phishing or credential harvesting. And that's basically where people will try and trick you into handing over your password. And that's, you know, it brings us back to the start of what we've been talking about this morning, really, is when people, passwords can get hacked. Phishing and credential harvesting is up 16% on last year, and unauthorized access of accounts is up 23%. So it's definitely, there's definitely a trend going on. There's a lot of this happening. If you want to know why it's happening, it's got a lot to do with two things. One is that during the pandemic, lots of crooks couldn't go out robbing banks or mugging people or whatever because there was no one around to do that. So they stayed at home. Quite literally, people that were crooks got into cybercrime because of the lockdowns and they were stuck at home.
There you go. It's launched 1,000 careers, hasn't it? Yeah. Bill, yes. Thanks very much. Bill Bennett.